Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Ches. We left off on Daf Zayin and Beis. We're right in the middle of the page on Daf Zayin and Beis. First words on the line are V'ishtari, Ishtari, and we are up to the third word on the line, D'Tanya, smack in the middle of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Ellen and Avi Freilich, in memory of Avi's father, Harav Yitzchak Dov Freilich, whose 20th yard site is today, or Tuesday, I assume that means today, the Neshama Shem and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today's daf, we're going to continue. We're still in one sugya. The whole Masechta so far has been one sugya, and that is figuring out what the Hava Amina is that we would have thought to do Yibum on one of the Arayos, that I need a Pasuk of Aleha to tell me not to do Yibum on one of the Arayos. So we had given a couple of suggestions yesterday. After giving up on the suggestion that the Hava Amina would be that Aseh is Doch Halos Aseh Sheish Bo Kares, because we apparently come to the conclusion that an Aseh is not Doch Halos Aseh Sheish Bo Kares, so we started working on other possibilities of why I would have thought to do Yibum on one of the Arayos. So the last possibility we mentioned yesterday is hold the Ishtaria, that since we're allowing anyway the Isser of Eshes Achiv, because that's what the Mitzvah of Yibum is, we're also going to allow other Isurei Arayos that are bound up in that woman that apply to that same woman. So the Gemara is going to first discuss where we find this principle of hold the Ishtaria, what the Gedarim of the principle of hold the Ishtaria are, and then the Gemara is going to give on Amud Aleph two more suggestions of what the Hava Amina was that you would do Yibum on Arayos, that I need a Pasuk of Aleha to tell me not to do Yibum on Arayos. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how I know the Isser of Achos Ishto Shalo B'Makom Mitzvah. How do I know that there's an Isser of Achos Ishto when there's not a Yibum situation? The Gemara is going to have three different possibilities. Then the Gemara is going to even entertain the possibility that maybe the word Aleha has been misunderstood this entire time. Maybe the word Aleha teaches us that there is Yibum on Arayos, and our whole line of questioning was off. We've been assuming Aleha tells me not to do Yibum on Arayos, and therefore we wanted to know what the Hava Amina was to do Yibum on Arayos. Maybe Aleha is telling me that you do Yibum on Arayos, and the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. So and then we're going to get into a lot of details in terms of the exact drashos from the Psukim on Amud Beis. So let's begin. We're in the middle of Zayin Amud Beis. We're smack in the middle of the page, and we just said hold the Ishtari, that maybe the reason for the idea that we need Aleha, the reason that I would have had a Hava Amina that you do Yibum on Arayos, is since anyway we're being matir the Yisra of Eishas Achiv, we're also going to be matir whatever other Arayos she might be. So the Gemara asks, so minot temra da Amina and hol v'ishtari Ishtari, where do we find such an idea? From where do we see that we apply such a principle called hol v'ishtari Ishtari? So the Gemara explains that the source for the concept of hol v'ishtari Ishtari, that once we're being matir one thing, we're matir the other isurim as well, is based on the halacha of someone who has tzara'as, a mitzora, who becomes a balkeri, that we allow him to enter the azara for his tahara process, just like any other mitzora would be allowed to enter the azara for his tahara process. Meaning, normally, a mitzora should not be allowed to enter the azara, but it's the only way he can become tahar. So we allow him to enter the azara. If he's also a balkeri, so we're going to allow that too, even though really there's no special heter of a balkeri entering the azara, but once we're allowing his tumas tzaras, once we're allowing his we're allowing him to enter the azara, even in a state of tzaras, we're going to allow it, even though he's also in a state of keri. So a little bit of background is important over here to understand all the moving pieces of what that means. A mitzora who becomes a balkeri. In general, the Torah tells us that we send the tamei michutz lamachane. What does it mean michutz lamachane? There are three machane. There's a Machne Shechina, there's a Machne Levia, and there's Machne Yisrael. The Machne Shechina is from the Ezras Yisrael and further in, and anyone who's Tamei is not allowed to go there. Even Tamei Meis, Tamei Sheretz, you're not allowed to go into the Azara if a person is Tamei. Then there's the Machne Levia. The Machne Levia is the Harabayis, from the Harabayis until the Azara, and the Halacha is that Minatorah, the only someone who's Tamei Bituma Yotzi Mikufo is also to enter in the Harabayis, like a Zav, a Balkari, a Nida, a Yoledes, but someone who
who's tamei meis, someone who's tamei sheretz, is allowed min haTorah to go into the Har HaBayis. The chamor goes there not to go from min achel v'lefanim, but even on the basic Har HaBayis, you're allowed to go if a person is tamei meis. And then the third category, the third machne, is machne Yisrael. That's all of the cities of Eretz Yisrael that are mukafos choma, where only a mitzora is not allowed to go there. Meaning only if a person could be tamei meis and could still be in Yerushalayim, it's only if he has saras that he sent michutz l'shalosh machnos, that he sent even outside of Yerushalayim. He sent outside of all three machnos. Now we also find three different levels of tumah in the tara process of a person. Let's say a person is tamei and he just hasn't even gone to the mikveh yet, so that is a very intense level of tumah. But then you have what's called the tevul yom, a person who went to the mikveh but he's just waiting for the evening, he's waiting for the day to be over. That's called the tevul yom. As far as chulin is concerned, a tevul yom is completely tahar. He's just not allowed to have truma or kachum or go into the mikdash until nightfall. And then you have a mechusar kapara, someone who went to the mikveh, it already was nighttime, but he didn't yet bring in the karbanos that he's obligated to bring as part of his tahar process. For example, you have a zav, you have a mitzora, you have a yoledes, that part of their tahar process is to bring karbanos after they become tahar from their tuma. That's a mechusar kapara. So as far as chulin is concerned, and even as far as truma is concerned, a mechusar kapara is completely tahar. But as far as kachim is concerned, they still remain tameh until they actually bring their karbanos. So mechusar kapara is also not allowed to enter the machne shechina, and kol shekein tevul yom is not allowed to enter the machne shechina. But to go into the machne leviya, we allow mechusar kippurim, and we don't allow tevul yom. So for the Har HaBayis, a mechusar kippurim is allowed to go into Har HaBayis, a tevul yom is not allowed to go into Har HaBayis. Now the order of how to be metaher in mitzora goes as follows: that after a person becomes healed of his tzara'as, he brings two birds. One of them they shecht and they sprinkle the dam on him, and they said the other bird they send away, and then they're megaleach kol sa'aro, they shave all of his hair, and then he goes to the mikveh and he counts seven more days. On that seventh day, he's megaleach again. He goes to the mikveh again, and then at that point, he becomes a tevul yom until that evening. And when that evening comes, he becomes tahar to be able to eat truma, but he's still a mechusar kippurim. He still needs to bring karbanos. The next day, on the eighth day after his first tevila, he brings his karbanos. Among them is a karban asham, and the kohen takes from the dam of that asham and puts on his thumb and on his big toe and his right earlobe. So on his right thumb, his right big toe, and his right earlobe. And that's why the mitzora. But in order to do that, the mitzora has to enter the Ezras Nashim, and he has to stick his thumb and his toe and his earlobe into the Ezras Yisrael, meaning into the Azara. Because if they were to bring the dam of that Korban Nashim outside of the Azara, the dam would become pasul, be psul yotze. But he's still a mechusar kippurim, so he's not really allowed in the Azara. So he wouldn't literally just walk into the Azara. He would stand at Shari Nikanor, he would stand at the gate, and he would just stick his thumb and his big toe and his ear into the Azara in order that they could put the dam on those parts of his body. Because even though the Shari Nikanor was open to the Ezras Yisrael, it was not his Kaddish B'Kedushas HaAzara. The gate itself where he stood was still not Kedushas HaAzara. It had a din of Kedushas Ezras Nashim, which is the Kedusha of Har HaBayis, where he was okay. He was allowed to stand. It still has a status of Machne Leviya, because they became where Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to stand. That's what the Gemara in Pesachim says. The Gemara says that's why they weren't Mekadesh Shar Nikanor. The Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Pei Hei asks why wasn't Shar Nikanor Niskadesh? And the Gemara says because the Mitzora has to stand somewhere, and he's not allowed to go into a place that has Kedusha Sazara. So he's got to stand just outside of where there's Kedusha Sazara. So they weren't Mekadesh Shar Nikanor. Tosfos asks the obvious question, and if they were Mekadesh it, so he would have stood one step further out. The point is, there's a borderline somewhere, so he's got to stand by the border and just stick his thumb and his toe into the other side. So Tosfos quotes from a Rivan that even if they were Mekadesh the Sha'arim, it wouldn't be rotly to do matan bahonos in the sha'arim, because the pasuk says lefnei Hashem, and lefnei Hashem implies in the avir ha'azara, in when you're inside the room, that it wouldn't be appropriate, it wouldn't be correct to do the matan bahonos in the sha'arim. So they had to make it that he's allowed to be in the sha'ar, where the matan bahonos will be on the other side, will be all the way in the azara, and that's where he's going to stick his thumb and his toe, etc. So anyway, so all of that is background to the following. So the Braisa tells us, the Gemara explains, Ditanya, we have a Braisa. Mitzora shechal shmini shalo, if a Mitzora has his eighth day from the time of his first Tevila, where he has to bring his karbanos and be mitar himself for kachim, and that falls out by Erev HaPesach, v'ra'a keri bo b'yom, and he becomes a bal keri on that very day. V'taval, so he goes to the mikvah to become tahar from his bal keri, but he's a tevul yom until that night, until the night of the Seder. So they allow him to stand by the Machna Levia, in the Machna Levia, to stand by the Machna Levia for the Matan Dam on his thumb and his toe, because Amr Chamav, Pishen Tvil Yom Acher Nichnas, no other Tvil Yom was allowed to go into the Machna Levia, but Zed Nichnas, this guy is allowed to go into the Machna Levia, because he has to stick his thumb and his big toe into the Machna Shechina, so he's allowed to be in the Machna Levia. If we don't allow him into the Machna Levia, he's not going to become Torah from his Tzara'as, and if he doesn't become Torah from his Saras, he's not going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach that night, because he's going to be a Mechusar Kippurim. A Mechusar Kippurim is not allowed to eat a Karban Pesach. So in order to enable him to eat a Karban Pesach, we're not only matir the fact that he's a Metzora, we're not only matir a Metzora to go into the Machna Levia, we're even matir a Tevil Yom to go into the Machna Levia, even though because he's a Balkari also, so he's a Tevil Yom from the Balkari perspective. So Mutav Shiavo Asei Sheish Bakaris, I'd rather take the Asei of Karban Pesach, which failure to do so results in the chiyuv kares, v'yichasei shein bo kares, and should be docha the asay of shiluach machanos, which is not a chiyuv kares, because there's no chiyuv kares for a tevil yom or mechus kippurim unless they enter the machna shechina. He's not going into the machna shechina. He's standing in the sharni kanor, which has the status of machna levia. He's only sticking his thumbs into the azar, into the machna shechina. And once he becomes tar from saras, now he's going to be able to bring korban pesach, because you don't have to enter the Azara to bring Karm Pesach. Karm Pesach could be brought al yidei shliach. So once he has a shliach bringing his Karm Pesach, so good, he could have a Seder that night and he could eat the Karm Pesach and everyone will be happy. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan comments on that Braisa, when the Braisa says, let it be docha nasei she'ein bo kares, dvar Torah afilu asei lesbe. On a Doraisa level, a Tevil Yom doesn't even have an Isser asei when he enters into the Machna Levia. It's only really usher for a Tevil Yom to enter the Machna Shechina. It's a gzeira mitrabanan that a Tevil Yom is not allowed to enter the Ezras Nashim. Shenemar, because the pasuk says on the day that the Jewish people are tamei from became tar from the tumah that they had in Sefer Divrei Yamim, vayamud Yoshafat bekal Yehuda lefnei chotra chadosha. So my chotra chadosha, what does that mean? Chotra chadosha. So I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe explains that's a reference to Har Abayis. Why is it called chadosha? Shechidshu badvarim. They made new halachos. They were mechadish new halachos. V'amru, and they said, Tevil Yom lo yikanis, the Machna Levia. They made a din midrabanan that a Tevil Yom is not allowed to enter the Machna Levia. So you see, it's only a din midrabanan. So the Rabbanan said, look, if it's this din midrabanan or no Korban Pesach, I'd rather bring the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is an Isser Kares, is a mitzvah that involves Kares if you fail to bring it. So we're going to forego this din midrabanan that a Tevil Yom is not allowed into the Machna Levia, and we're going to allow it. So the din would be that it's mutter for him to enter and to become tar, but that still requires further elaboration, because even if we allow him to stand in Shari Nikanar, which is only in Isra Midrabanan, how could he stick his bahonos into the Azara, Lutzoruch Matan Adam? How could he stick his thumb and his big toe into the Machne Shechina? The Azara is the Machne Shechina. Going into that is an Isser, even for a Mechusar Kippurim, it's for sure Aser for a Tvul Yom to enter the Machne Shechina. Granted, he's not putting his whole body in, he's only putting his thumb and his big toe in, but even going into the Azara partially, but even Bia B'mitzas is called Bia. Entering partially is also called entering, and it's also for a Balkari to even partially enter the Machna Shechina. So the Torah allows it for a Mitzora, because that's the only way that a Mitzora can become Torah. The Torah doesn't only allow it for a Mitzora, it prescribes it for a Mitzora. A Mitzora must stick his his toe and his thumb and his ear into the Machne Shechina. But how do I know that this Mitzvah, who's also Balkari, that he's going to be allowed to do that? For what about his Tumas Keri? What about the fact that he's a Tvul Yom from the Mitzad the Tumas Keri? Va'amar Ula, so Ula explains, Ma Tam, why do we allow the Tvul Yom to go partially into the Azara, to stick his finger and his toe into the Azara? That's the reason we quoted this whole thing. That since it's mutter for him to do so on account of his tzaras, once we're matir that, we're matir it for on account of his. We ignore the tumas keri as far as that's concerned as well. That really ameikra din his tumas tzaras should have been enough to keep him out of the machne shechina. Elamai, we are matir that iser. So too, even though minadin the tumas tvul yom of being a balkeri should have been enough to keep him out of the machne shechina. Once we're matir the tzaras, we're matir the keri as well. So you see that whenever you have two isurim, if one of them becomes hutar, the other one drags along, also becomes hutar. That's the principle of hol vishtari ishtari. Now bringing that back to yibum, that will explain why there's a havamina to do yibum on arayos. Because every time you do yibum, it's one of the arayos, it's eshes achiv, but yet we're being matir that arayos. So even if she also happens to be your wife's sister, she also happens to be your daughter, she also happens to, it doesn't matter. Hol vishtari, since we're being matir eshes achiv, ishtari, we're going to be matir the other isra as well. And that's why I need a pasuk of aleha to tell me don't do yibum on arayos. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting right now. Says Gemara, wait a second, that doesn't work. Mi dami l'du'ula, can you really compare the isra of arayos by yibum to ula's chiddush about a mitzora who sees keri on the yom hashmini shalom? No, they're totally different cases. Ula not only said this klal of hol v'ishtari ishtari in a case where first, the thing that became mutter first was the iser that was chal first. So once that iser is going to be chal, any iser that's chal afterwards is also going to be mutter. Once the first iser is going to be hutar, the second iser is going to be hutar as well. Meaning, the guy was a mitzora first. A mitzora is allowed to go into the machne shechina in this tara process. And then on the eighth day, he became a balkari and he went to the mikvah. That came in later. So once we're matir, the iser mitzora, which preceded the Yisra of Balkari, we're going to be mad to the Yisra of Balkari as well. So if you were to set up a case of Yibum where that was the situation, where the dead brother married his wife before the live brother married his wife, again, we're assuming the Arayos that we're talking about is Achos Ishto, so it's two brothers marrying two sisters. When did she become Achos Ishto? So if the deceased brother married his wife first, she first became Eshes Achiv, and then the live brother married his wife, married her sister, then she became Achos Ishto. So that would make sense. Once we're matir the earlier Isra of Eshes Achiv, we're going to be matir the later Isra of Achos Ishto as well. Demigo d'shtari Isra Eshes Ach, ishtari nami Isra Achos Isha. Once we're matir the Isra of Eshes Ach, we're matir the later Isra of Achos Isha. Ela, nasa chai v'acharkach nasa meis, Isra Achos Isha kadim. But what are you going to do in a case where it's the reverse, where first the live brother, the surviving brother, married his wife? So this woman that's now facing Yibam was Achos Ishto before she was ever Eshes Achiv. It was his wife's sister before it was ever his brother's wife. Do you ever see such a principle of hol v'shtari ishtari in such a case? That once we're going to be matir a second Isser, we're going to go back and be matir the first Isser as well? We don't find such a thing. And the Gemara says, not only that, even if you're matir the earlier Isser, it should not be matir the later Isser unless the second Isser is chal after the first heter was chal. Meaning, hol v'shtari ishtari tells me that once there exists a certain heter, that heter will prevent a second iser from being chal. But if the second iser is already chal, we don't know that there's going to be a principle of hol v'shtari ishtari. V'afilu nasa meis, nami, even if the deceased brother is the one that got married first, so she was achos ishto, she was eshes achiv before she was achos ishto, but still it still would only work if the deceased brother got married and died before the live brother married her sister, because then you can have a case where there's a din of all of ishtari dechazile de beni beni, because should the yivam was muteris in yibum when in between the time where her husband died and where the surviving brother married her sister. And then, even when he marries her sister, we're going to be matir that iser as well, because the heter was already in place before he married her sister. That's where we're going to say hol v'ishtari ishtari. Elanasa meis, but let's say the deceased brother gets married to the woman first, v'lo meis, and before he dies, lo meis doesn't mean he doesn't die, we're calling him a meis, so he's obviously dead. So if the dead guy got married first, and then before he died, va'achar kach nasachai, the surviving brother married the sister, lo is chazi leklal. So there never was a time where the yibum was mutter, and therefore we're not going to be matir the yisur of achos ishto, because the entire time that the brother was alive, she was asura to him with the nisur of eshasach, and at the time that the brother died, she was already asura as achos ishto as well. We don't say hol v'shtari ishtari in such a case. We only say hol v'shtari ishtari if the heter was in place before the second isser was chal. Over here, the heter yibum was not in place before the second isser was chal. The guy got married to his brother's wife's sister before the brother died. So you had the isser of achos ishto before there ever was a heter of yibum. So the Gemara brings a raya to this chilik. Milo modi ula, after all, isn't ula moda she imra keri bilel shmini she'ein machnas yadav lebonos? That wouldn't ula be moda that if the mitzora became a balkeri on the night of the eighth day, that we don't apply the principle of hol v'ishtari ishtari, and he's not allowed to go into the azara to do the matan bahonos, because shelo yatsa b'shashiru yelahavi bakarban, because at that point in the night when he became a balkeri, he did not yet have a heter to go into the azara, because he's only allowed to bring the carbon during the daytime. It's only once the morning hits on the eighth day where he's ready to bring his karbanos, where he's allowed to bring his karbanos, and therefore he's allowed to do the matan bonos, he's allowed to do the bia b'mitzas into the azara, he's allowed to partially enter machna shchina. Only then, if he becomes a balkeri, we're going to say, okay, we're not going to allow the isra of balkeri to get in the way. The heter's already in place, the isra of balkeri is not going to ruin the heter. But if he became a balkeri before he ever had the right to go into the machna shchina, we're not going to allow him to go into the machna shchina, we're not going to allow him to stick his thumbs into the machna shchina. So the Gemara's maskana is, if the isra of achos isha precedes the yibum situation, I don't need a pasuk to aser her, because the aseh of yibum is not docha alos aseh sheish bokares. So we're back to square one. What's aleha for? Why do I need aleha? I never would have had a hava mina that you could do yibum on one of the arayas. What did we want to say? Yes, I would. I would think you could do yibum on one of the arayas, because hol v'ishtari ishtari, in most cases, hol v'ishtari ishtari doesn't apply. It would only be the craziest case where after the brother dies and he knows that he's going to have a yibum situation with his sister-in-law, he says, you know what, before I do yibum, let me marry my sister-in-law's sister. And only then he does yibum. That's where you would say hol v'ishtari ishtari. But in a normal case, we wouldn't apply hol v'ishtari ishtari. So why do I need a leha to tell me not to do yibum? Why do I need aleha to pater achos isha from yibum? That's only in that weird case where the deceased brother got married and then died, and then the surviving brother married her sister. So the heter was in place. The heter of yibum was in place before the isser of achos ishto applied. So that's the only case where you would need aleha. So then the Gemara says, or maybe there's another reason why I would have had a hava mina that you could do yibum on achos ishto. Maybe we could leave aside hol v'ishtari ishtari. Maybe there's a hol v'ishtari ishtari, I think was reason number three. two that we had in terms of why you're allowed to do, why I would have a hava mina that you're allowed to do yibum anachos ishto, but maybe there's a third reason, and that is v'iba yaseima. Maybe we could say that without the word aleha, I would have allowed yibum on arayos because asya behekesha. Maybe I would have made naturally a hekesh between eshes ach and all the other arayos mid Rabbi Yona, just like Rabbi Yona made a hekesh. Dam Rabbi Yona v'item Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua amar krav. The pasuk says in the end of the parsha of the Arayos, "Ki kol asher yasa mikol hatoevos ha'elu v'nichrusu hanefashos mikarav avam." So you see, it puts all of the Arayos in the same category. Hukshu kol Arayos kulan. We make a hekesh. Therefore, the pasuk is making a hekesh between all of the Arayos le'eshasach to each other, and one of those Arayos is eshasach. So therefore, ma eshasach sharia, just like eshasachiv is mutter. There's a mitzvah called yib. And we allow the Yisra of Eshes Achiv for the sake of Yibum, Avkal Arayos Nami Sharyon. So too, all Arayos we're going to allow for the sake of Yibum. That's the Hava Mina. So Kas Rachmana Aleha. That's why the Torah has to tell me, no, Aleha teaches that you don't do Yibum on Arayos. You only do Yibum on your brother's wife, because that's the very nature of Yibum, but you're not going to do it if she's also one of the other Arayos, if she's also your daughter, your sister, your whatever, Achos Ishto, or anything else. Amli Ravacha Midifti the Ravina. If that's the case, even after you have the word aleha that asers yibum and arayos, how do I know to be makish all the other arayos to aser them as well? Meaning, maybe aleha tells me achos ishto you don't do yibuman. But what about the? We had 15 arayos, so good. Eishes achiv I know is mutter because that's the very nature of yibum. Achos ishto. Now I have a word aleha to tell me achos ishto is aser, but the arayos are all hukshu la'adadi. Which one are they hukash to? Where do all the other arayos fit in? So michti kala arayos yikal agushin le'eshesach. We can compare all the other arayos to eshesachiv and yikal agushin la'achos isha, or we can compare them to achos isha. I have a pasuk that tells me that there's a mitzvah of yibum telling me that eshesachiv is mutter. I have a pasuk of Allah telling me achos ishto is aser. What about everybody else? What about your daughter, your sister, everybody else? So my your daughter-in-law, everything, everybody else. So my chazda kasha la'achos ishto. Isha, why is it that we automatically put all the other arayos in the category of achos isha and say that she's asura? Actually, eshesach. Why not put it in the category of eshesachiv and say that she's muteres? It could be in a chinami. Those were both options in front of us, and there are rules of which option to take when you're faced with such choices. When you could make a hekesh l'kula or a hekesh l'chumra, the rule is you make a hekesh l'chumra. So what do I do with the other 13 arayos? Do I assume that they're all included in the yisur or that they're all included in the heter? You have to assume they're all included in the yisur. The bayisema, or another possibility, is that we can compare the other arayos to achos isha because they're more similar to achos isha. Hacha trei yisuri, hacha trei yisuri. When you have your brother's wife who's also one of the other arayos, that's similar to your brother's wife who's also achos ishto, as opposed to so trei mitrei yalfinan. Aval hacha, but in the case of a regular eshes achiv, a woman who has no relationship to you other than the fact that she's your brother's wife, so chadi isura, so trei michad leyalfinan. That's only one isur. All she has is that she's your brother's wife. So you can't derive a case where your brother happened to have been married to your daughter also, that your brother happened to have been married to your daughter, so she's both Eshes Achiv and Bito, from a case where she's only Eshes Achiv. If you want to know what it's more comparable to, that would be more comparable to a case where your brother is married to Achos Ishto, where she's both Eshes Achiv and Achos Ishto. So that's why we put all the other Arayos in that category. Then the Gemara brings another possibility of why I need Aleha to pater Erva from Yibum, tell me that you don't do yibum on erva. Rava Amar, possibility number four, I think, is what we're up to. Lo tzricha kra, that erva lo tzricha kra, rather. The erva itself, you're right, I never would have had a hava mina to do yibum on the arayos, and I say is not docha lo se shish makaris. Of course you're not going to do yibum on the arayos. Mishum da se docha lo se shish makaris. Ki Yisra Kray, you know why I need the Pasuk of Alecha to aser and to tell me not to do Yibam in such a case? L'meisa Tzara, not to aser the Erva herself, but to aser the Tzara's Erva. The Mishnah taught me that if my brother was married to my daughter, not only would I not do Yibam on my daughter, I wouldn't do Yibam on any of my brother's other wives either. That's where I would have had a Hava Amina to do Yibam. There's never a Hava Amina to do Yibam on one of your Arayos. The Hava Amina, of course not. And I say, it's not going to be Docha Los Yishish Makares. The Hava Amina is to do Yibam on someone who's a Tzara to one of the Arayos. So says the Gemara, Ve'erva Lo Tzricha Kra, really? I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that you don't do Yibam on one of the Arayos? Va'atanya, but didn't the Braisa tell us? Ein, the Elohi. That I would only know that he is an Isra to do Yibam on her. How do I know that it includes the Tzara as well? So it sounds like up until that point in the Braisa, we were dealing with the very Heter to do, the very Isra to do Yibam on the Arayos herself. And that's what the Pasuk is being darshened on. So it doesn't sound like it was a given that you're not going to do Yibam on one of the Arayos. So answer the Gemara, no. The Braisa only quotes the Drosh of Aleha, Mishum Tzarasa, in order to be Mamshech and tell me the Tzarasa Minayin part. Meaning there really never was any doubt about doing Yibam one of the Arayos. You don't do Yibam on Arayos. The whole Chiddush of the Braisa was about the Tzara, that you also don't do Yibam on the Tzara's Arayos. So the Gemara asks, but Vakatani, but the Pasuk continues to say, the Braisa continues to darshan the Pasuk by all Arayos, Ein Li Alehein, I would only know those the other Arayos because they're compared to Achos Isha. Tzaroseh and Minayin, how do I know that the Tzaros of all the other Arayos besides for Achos Ishto, you also don't do Yibam on? So from the fact that the Braisa is speaking in those terms, it sounds like the Braisa is really discussing and really entertaining the possibility that I would have done Yibam on the other Arayos. First question was about Achos Ishto. Now we're talking about the other, where Aleha is actually said by Achos Ishto. Now we're dealing with the other Arayos that are all compared to Achos Ishto. It sounds like we actually entertain the possibility of doing Yibam on other Arayos. Says no, Mishum Tzaros Sehen. No, there was never really entertaining any such possibility. It was all on account of the Tzaros. The whole Chiddush of Aleha and the whole Chiddush of being Makish all the Arayos to each other is to tell me that you don't even do Yibam on a Tzaras Erva. So Tashima, the Gemara asks on Rava from Rebbe, who darshans the Torah of Arayos from Yibum from a pasuk. That Rebbe Omer, that it says in the parsha of Yibum, it says Yavama Yavo Aleh Lekachalo Liisha VYibma. So we darshan V'lakach Ulekacha. It doesn't say V'lakach Lo Liisha. It says Ulekacha Lo Liisha. So it sounds like a miut that it's Dafka this one that he's Lokech, but there's some other Yavama that he's not Lokech for an Isha. So and it says V'yabeim. It doesn't say, but rather V'yibma, which is also a miut that he Dafka does Yibma on this woman, no one else. So lesser Tzaros va'arayos, that asks Tzaros Arayos and the Arayos themselves. So you see that even the Arayos themselves need a miut in the pasuk. It's not a given, it's not obvious that you're not going to do Yibam on the Arayos themselves. So Ema, lesser Tzaros shel Arayos. No, it's not, it is a given. When we say lesser Tzaros ve'arayos, it doesn't mean Tzaros and the Arayos. Of course you're not going to do Yibam on the Arayos. It means Tzaros shel Arayos. The whole Chiddush is only about the Tzaros. V'atrei of life, but he quoted two psukim, ulkacha and v'yimma. So it sounds like there are two limudim, one about the tzaros and one about the arayos. My love, chad the arva v'chad the tzara. That one of these psukim is about the arayos themselves, and it is a chiddush, and the pasuk is needed. So lo, idi v'idi l'tzara. No. Both psukim are about the tzara. Chad the meisar tzara makom mitzvah v'chad the mishri tzara shalom makom mitzvah. One pasuk is telling me that tzaros arayos are usher to do yibuman. The other pasuk is telling me that if my brother happened to be married to that if it wasn't my brother, if some other guy happened to be married to my daughter and somebody else, that somebody else is mutter to me, that there's no isser of marrying that somebody else at some point. So if it wasn't she wasn't married to my brother, so my time, well, what's the reason that the tzara is only usher makom mitzvah? It's somewhat counterintuitive, right, that when you have a mitzvah you're not allowed to marry this tzara, but when you don't have a mitzvah then you're allowed to marry the tzara to your arayos. So v'yamah b'makom yibum from V'yibma we learned that the Isser of marrying Tzara Serva is only B'makom Yibum, but Shalom B'makom Yibum you're allowed to marry Tzara Serva. Amar Rav Ashi Masnis and Amideka, even from our Mishnah we could be Medayik like Rav Adiktani, Chamesh Esr Nashim potros tzorosehen, vilu potros peturos upotros lo katani. The Mishnah doesn't talk about the petur of the erva itself. That's a given. That's a given that you're not gonna do yibum on the erva itself. The whole chiddush is all about the tzara. Shema mina. So ask the Gemara, how can Rava say in the brisa, in interpreting this brisa, that Aleha is only telling me to aser the tzara? Lishitaso, we should aser the tzara misvara umayshna erva delotzrichukra. Why is it so obvious to you that you don't need a pasuk and it's obvious you're not going to do yibum on the erva? Dena say dochalos sheish makaris, because an asay is not dochalos sheish makaris. Well, tzara rami lotibarikra, then I shouldn't need a pasuk not to do yibum on a tzari either. Mishum dena, because it's the same as Sarkaris. Amalei Ravacha bar Bibi Mar the Ravina Hachi Kamarim Mishmei the Rava. This is what we said in the name of Rava, that not only is the erva asur misvara, tzara nami lo itzrukra. You're right. The isra of a tzara is also misvara, because the nasei is not dochalos sheish makaris. Ki isrukra. You know why I need the pasuk of aleha lemishri tzara shalom makom mitzvah. The aleha is not telling me an isra to do yibum on the erva. It's not telling me an isra to do yibum on the tzara's erva. Both of those are obvious. You know what it's telling me? That you're allowed to marry a tzara's erva shalom makom yibum. That if your daughter happens to be married to some stranger, and that stranger happens to be married to another woman as well, you're allowed to marry that other woman after she gets divorced or nisalmin from that stranger. That's the whole limud from the pasuk. My taima, how does the word aleha teach us that there's only an isra of a tzara b'makom mitzvah? Because amar kra aleha b'makom aleha hu da'asira shalom b'makom aleha sharia. It's only when it's b'makom mitzvah yibum yivama yavo aleha, that's where there's an isra of a tzara. Shalom b'makom aleha, when you don't have yivama yavo aleha, then you're allowed to marry a tzara serva. Amar le'rami barcham le'rava ema erva gufei shalom b'makom mitzvah tishtari. Well, wait a second, maybe shalom b'makom mitzvah you should be allowed to marry the erva. How do I know aleha is only telling me about the tzara serva? Maybe I'm even allowed to marry an erva when it's not a makom mitzvah, which is such a crazy hava amina, right? Meaning we're suggesting maybe you're not allowed to marry your daughter as long as it's not a makom of yibum. That's what the Gemara is entertaining now, based on not based on morality obviously, but based on the drushos and the psukim. It's what do they call it? Ad absurdium, right? Meaning that if you're going to take this argument further, then maybe that's the way to interpret the pasuk. V'lav kal v'chomeru v'makom mitzvah asir shalom makom mitzvah sharia. So the Gemara says, well, no, it's a kal v'chomer. You're not even allowed to marry her when there's a mitzvah to marry her. Of course you're not allowed to marry her when there's no mitzvah to marry her. So Amalei, so Rami Bar Chama said, no, you can't learn from that kal v'chomer because tzara tochiach, the makom mitzvah asir shalom makom mitzvah sharia. What are we trying to say about a tzara now? That a tzara's erva is only aser b'makom mitzvah, when there's a mitzvah of yibum. When there's no mitzvah of yibum, a tzara's erva is mutter. So that kal v'chomer doesn't work. Amalei, alecha makra b'chayeha kol shebechayeha. That's why the pasuk says by achos isha, that it says b'chayeha to teach us any achos isha shebechayeha of his wife is asuratim, whether it's makom mitzvah or whether it's shalom b'makom mitzvah. Habechayeha mi bayle lemute la'achar misa. But isn't that b'chayeha already needed to tell me that after the wife dies, that the sister is muteras, that she's only asur b'chayeha? Hayimi v'isha alachosa nafka. Now that I already learned from v'isha alachosa, that it's only when they're both alive, not when the achosa is no longer alive. So I asked the Gemara, but still, I need the word b'chayeha for another drasha. Imi v'isha lachosa hava mina nisgarsha sharia tamalom b'chayeha kol shebechayeha dafgav de nisgarsha lo. The word b'chayeha tells me that even even after you divorce the wife, you're not allowed to marry her sister because she's still alive. Elo amar Rav Huna bar Techliva mishmei d'Rava. You know what you have to say is that the Torah asers arayos even shalom b'makom mitzvah because trait kray ksivi. There are two psukim that talk about achos isha. Ksiv isha lachosa lo tikach l'tzrar. So it sounds like they're both aser, that she and the tzara are both aser. Uksiv l'galo servasa. And then there's another pasuk that says that the erva is aser. So at one pasuk it tells me that not only are the arayos aser, the tzara's erva is also aser. And another pasuk that tells me that only the erva is aser. So the chadamashma. So how do I reconcile that stira? When do I say that only the erva is aser? And when do I say that both the erva and her tzara are aser. So b'makom mitzvah shtein aseros. When it's a yibum situation, the erva is aser and her tzara is aser. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, when it's not a yibum situation, he aser of tzara aser mutaris. The erva is aser, but the tzara is going to be mutar. Epochanan, maybe you should flip it around. B'makom mitzvah he aser of tzara aser mutaris. Shalom b'makom mitzvah shtein aseros. Maybe when it's a yibum situation, you're allowed to do yibum on her tzara, just not on the erva. And when it's not a yibum situation, they're both aser. Imkein lo yomar aleha. No, that's too mistaver. That's logical. So I wouldn't need a pasuk of aleha to tell me that. Meaning, logically, I would have naturally darshan the psukim in that way. That if something is going to be more mutter, b'makom mitzvah, there are going to be more heterim. So I would think that you could do yibum on tzaras erva, b'makom mitzvah, but you can't marry a tzaras erva. So that's why I need aleha to flip it around. That you're allowed to marry a tzaras erva in general, you're just not allowed to do yibum on a tzaras erva. Amalei Rav Ashi the Rav Kana, mimai dahay aleha li isura. How do I know aleha is coming to tell me an iser? Dilma lehetera. Baby, the word aleha is coming to tell me the heter of the erva herself, that b'makom mitzvah you're allowed to do yibum on an erva. V'achi kamar rachmana. Maybe the pasuk is saying as follows. Isha elachosa lo tikach litzrar lohi v'lo tzarasa shalo b'makom aleha. That you know when you're not allowed to marry the erva and you're also not allowed to marry the tzaras erva? When it's not a yibum situation. When your daughter just happens to be married to a guy and some other guy, not your brother, some random guy, and that random guy is also married to another woman. So not only is your daughter asura to you, but that other woman is also asura to you. But maybe if it's a yibum situation, they're both going to be mutter. Maybe in a real yibum situation, you're allowed to do yibum on the tzaras erva, and you're even allowed to do yibum on the erva herself. Maybe that's what aleha is really teaching me. So says Mar Im Kain, if that were the case, then we could ask by Achos Isha, where it says legalos erva sa, legalos it's mashma legalos erva dechada, that you're only allowed to, the Torah asers being megala erva of one woman. Well, hechi mishkachusa, where do you find such a din that the erva herself is going to be asur, but the tzara is going to be mutter? Because the way you want to darshan it, iba makom mitzvah shtei mutaris, you want to tell me that in the yibum situation, all the yisurim go away, the yisur of erva goes away, the yisur of tzara goes away, they're both going to be mutter. And you shalom makom mitzvah shtei asuros, and you're trying to tell me when it's shalom makom mitzvah, they're both going to be asur. So we're not going to be able to use the pasuk that tells me that sometimes the erva is asur and the tzara is mutter. So that's why we have to come to the conclusion that the erva is asr and the tzar is mutter, shalom b'makom mitzvah. But b'makom mitzvah, ein achinami, they're both asr. Okay, but the shalom will pick up from there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have a great one.
You too.